Well, they need a point guard. Kyrie will come back. I don't necessarily think having free agent money in this class is the greatest idea, especially in Boston, which has not historically been able to draw free agents. There's a whole bunch of competition for those guys. I just can't believe the Celtics really thought they were going to lose Al Horford. I think their strategy was around, okay, we're going to re-sign Al and maybe add another piece. Now they got to replace Al Horford, which is incredibly difficult, and replace Kyrie Irving. It's not going to happen.
Brian Windhorst, you hear it nationally. I mean, I heard a bunch of guys last night who were pretty much saying the exact same thing, that a lot of this stuff really caught Boston off guard, that having the money right now is pretty much useless unless you can use it towards getting Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant. If you've got $34 million and you can get a game changer, then you're in good shape. The problem is they're going to have $34 million and they're going to have nobody to get. And so they're going to overspend for somebody that should not be getting that type of money. And that's not going to help you down the road.
When was the last time they overspent?
The last time they overspent.
Yeah, because I'm saying, you're saying, oh, okay, so Al Horford.
Well, we haven't had a lot of free agents in here.
But you look at Al Horford, it's like, no, he was going to get that anywhere he went. Gordon Hayward was going to get that wherever he went. So it's not like they were, I would give them credit for never doing that, even though the most of the masses, most of the fans, and you're tempted to do so. They just don't do it.
Christian, I think you're wasting your money.
I feel like they'd be willing to just be middle of the road with the guys that they have instead of overdoing or chasing the talent.
That's why I'm still convinced that what Danny is going to do with the money is he will not go out there and get one significant player. He will get numerous players that have a couple years left on their contract. I think they want to at least be competitive right now. I don't think they want to go to the bottom. So I think he will do that.
I don't think they can go to the bottom.
Right, which will give him the flexibility to, if a guy opens up next year and he can get a guy in a trade next year, like he did Kyrie Irving, or a guy opens up the year after that, he has the flexibility and the cap room to go and make that trade to get that significant player. They still need that significant player. And the guys that are out there in the B list that we're looking at, good players. They'll help you win a few games, but they're not going to lead you anywhere closer to a championship. Back to the phone calls. We said we'll talk to Chris Sims coming up at 3:30.
Chris Sims, 3:30.
I swear to God.
Find out why he's trolling the Patriots again.
You know what's a better football? You know a better do question? All that. I just wanted the discussion.
You know what's a better question with him?
Find out why.
What did Tom Brady do to you?
We got to get to the bottom.
When you were in camp there.
Let's get to the bottom.
Why are you holding a grudge? We need to lay him on the couch and really get it out of him.
What did you do to him?
You know, what did he do to you?
Exactly. Something happened there. Jack is in Roslindale. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Glenn, this call is really directed towards you because I think you're just way off on this Vucevic take. I mean, he was ninth in player defensive rating last year in the entire league. I mean, he was a great, great player last year, an all-star, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been consistent in his career. He is so much better than Al Horford. It's
God. This is
I never would have got this call a year ago.
This is unbelievable.
What do you mean?
All of these people that call
and just look at the numbers. Yes. He never averaged 23, by the way. Right. But you just look at the numbers. You don't know the little things Al did. Don't you ever compare anybody to Al. I don't care who it is. You wouldn't have told me that this guy was better than Al Horford a year ago.
I'm moving the goalpost again.
This guy's better than Al Horford?
The same people. Hold on, Jack. Jack, you're the same people who called last year and was screaming that Lou Maloney would say anything negative about Al. You loved Al. Al was the greatest. He did all the little things. Now suddenly, this guy's better than Al. Give me a break.
Your take is so far off that this is the first time I've ever called. So, nice try. Have a good one.
The other thing is, that's the first time he's never even played in the entire, in every single game.
Every other year
he gets hurt. He was healthy this year.
And it's 20 points,
he played,
not 23.
Games this year. Right.
Every other year he plays.
This is the most he's ever played back to his second year in the league.
He was awful in the playoff series against Toronto. I mean, awful.
He's a good player.
I'm not trying to disparage
him. He's 7 feet tall.
He's a good player. He's also 29 years old. So you're going to sign this guy to a max contract? That's what he's doing. What he's doing is he's going to entertain other offers. He wants to stay in Orlando, but he wants Orlando to pay him maximum contract money, and they don't want to pay him maximum contract money because they don't think he's worth it. And you're going to take him off his hands, off their hands, pay him maximum contract money at age 29. I think you're crazy.
So in that playoffs,
get him against, for $15 million. I'll take him
again. The playoffs. So five games. He averaged 11 points.
11 points in that series.
Pay that man his money.
And by the way, the ball went through him, so that's what people are looking at with without Horford.
He would be a good addition.
He would be a good addition.
But I would then sit there and say, if you want to give him, what, $26, $27 million a year?
But you're going to have to give it to him for 4 years.
Exactly.
He's a free agent at 29.
I would sit there and say, does that make sense? Because we always sit there and say, just bring on a good player. All right, bring on this kid. All right, he's going to be 29 years old. Bring him on for the next 4 years. He's a double-double guy, you know, 20 and 10, whatever. How does that set Danny up 2 years from now?
Not good.
Is that contract that we are talking about that if Al re-signed, that you could move on from?
Well,
that you could include in a deal in a couple of years because you're looking for that max guy in a trade. So, you know, if they get him, you know, I would sit there and say, okay, there's a good basketball team. And I think there's too much talent on this team to bottom out. You can't tank. You can't tank with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Marcus Smart. Just those four guys alone won't let you be one of the worst six teams in the league.
Yeah,
right?
So you'll be stuck in the middle.
They won't.
You'll be stuck in the middle.
You're a high 40-win team.
If you fill the roster with just these fillers, big bodies, fillers, point guard, whatever, you're still a playoff team, in my opinion. You might be a seventh seed. But you're still a playoff team. If you add this kid, you might be a four seed, right? But you have too much talent to bottom out. You're stuck in the middle. And you're there for a while.
Listen to this. This is Jay Williams. And they're all saying pretty much the same thing with the Celtics.
It seems like the narrative has almost flipped a little bit for the Celtics very quickly from them being like, hey, this is the team that's going to win the Eastern Conference. Look how Danny Ainge is so great. The way they handled the Isaiah Thomas situation, missing out on Kawhi Leonard, missing out on Paul George. You know, hearing Terry Rozier literally come on this show and go on First Take and talk about, I want to be the guy. I want to feel appreciated. The Kyrie Irving situation, it talks about maybe how that franchise handles, you know, that climate.
And also missing out on Anthony Davis when everybody understands that you have the assets to get it done.
How did the Celtics go from being the team of the future to the team of the past without ever having a present?
That's actually true. But they did have a slight present, but nobody's giving them credit for it. But yeah, that is. And so they just keep resetting it, retooling it, rebuilding it. Just keep going.
So let me make my point of Vucevic again. If you could bring him in here for 2 years because you've got the cap money, at age 29, age 30, or would it be 30 and 31? I think his birthday is in October, so maybe it's 29 and 30. I would bring him in for the next couple years because it would be a stopgap for you because he's a good player. It would help you with a Rozier because you'd be out of money. If you could re-sign him and you can go over the cap with him with Rozier, you're, again, a 46, 47, 48-win team that gets beat in the second round of the playoffs. That's what you are for the next couple of years. I would buy that right now. The problem is that Vucevic is going to make his money right now. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to cash in because he can't come back and get a four-year, $100-plus million deal a year, 2 years, or 3 years from now because he's going to be too old. That's the problem. This guy wants to sign Kevin Love. This is Gary in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Gary, you're 5 years too late. The Kevin Love love affair
was
him and Rajon Rondo. You're like 5 years too late, but go.
No. I just want to see what we could get on a trade because I still think he moves the ball well. He played at the end of the year after that surgery he had for his feet or toe or whatever it was, and he really plays hard. He could have just threw the towel in and said, I'm not playing. And I just think he's really, you know, could be an asset to that team. I don't know. I respect your knowledge.
It's not a 4-year, $120 million deal. You ain't getting Kevin Love. And I would say that.
Well, if you do, you don't. He's 31 years old now. He's got 4 years left at 29.
Well, 30 a year.
20, yeah.
29, 31, 31, and 29. So, 29, like 30 a year. You want to pay him $30 million a year for the next 4 years? And by the way, he's injured a lot, right?
And he's, he has anxiety, which isn't being injured, but he does have anxiety issues that he openly talks about.
That clip we heard about the jump. Right, and they were just talking about how this happened and that happened and the way the Isaiah Thomas trade was viewed, right? And you heard Anthony Davis's father talking about how they didn't like what they did to Isaiah Thomas. does kind of bring you back to Aaron Baines. Because I don't know if any of this is true. You know, we've ever heard Aaron Baines talk, but Keith Smith, he did tweet out, and there's like a series of them, mm-hmm. right? He says, per source, Aaron Baines opted in. Now, this is June 12th when he opted in. Opted in with the indication that he would not be part of a trade package this summer. There's an understanding that a trade could happen down the line, but Baines opted in with the idea that he'd be staying in Boston for at least the near term. Now, this was yesterday, before the draft, in the morning. Aaron Baines opted in with the Celtics under the idea that he would be on a contender. With it looking like things are headed the other way, Boston will look on finding Baines a role with a contending team.
Phoenix, the contender,
while opening
right?
up cap space for themselves. Well, last tried. Night, Keith Smith, 10-18. Celtics are trading Aaron Baines to Phoenix.
Yeah, they're about with 30 games next season.
So it's not maybe as much attention as like, you know, Isaiah Thomas as far as burning a player that did a lot for you. And that's how it was viewed. I know here we're like, whatever, Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. But Aaron Baines, it was, all right, I'm opting in. How's everything look, Danny? Is Al staying?
No, we're good. We're good.
We got a shot with this guy, shot with that guy? Yeah. No? All right, listen, well, okay, opt-in. Well, I know it's a tradable contract.
He ghosted him.
But I'd like to be in a contender. Will you hook me up? Sure, I'll trade you to Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, and then when you ask, hey, you said you'd trade me to a contender. Well, we tried. Denver doesn't want you. Portland, no. I mean, no, we can't find a home for you. Toronto, no. Milwaukee, no. So it's, but the Suns were willing to dance with us. They're willing to work with us. So do you, because I saw the same couple tweets, and I saw somebody else talking about just, you know, now would you trust Danny Ainge?
Yeah, they did Aaron Baines yeah. wrong. Just like yeah. they did Isaiah Thomas wrong. And is Danny Ainge just ruthless?
So when you think about Kyrie Irving,
could be a fact.
Kyrie Irving finally said, "Screw it, I don't trust you." Right. And before you get me, make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, we talked about Al Horford re-signing here. I'm going to resign here. What? So you can trade me?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they did to Baines was exactly what they were probably going to do to Al Horford.
A year or two
it would have
down
taken a year or two down the road, definitely. But if I'm Al Horford, I know that's coming. And Aaron Baines did the right thing. Did the team friendly thing.
Salary filler for the trade you're going to make down the road.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help you out.
So they good lose. Luck. So they lose Baines. They lose Al Horford. They lose Morris. And they lose Kyrie, even though most of the Green Teamers don't believe that losing Kyrie was a big,
huge
deal.
Are those four starters?
Those were four guys that started at portions of the season.
Huh.
And people are feeling pretty good about it. I don't get this. Nationally, if you're hearing what they're saying, this thing is a mess.
Nationally, they're destroying your organization.
Destroying.
How did the Celtics go from being the team of the future to the team of the past without ever having a present?
I don't get it.
That's a good line.
Yeah, I don't get it. And suddenly we're just looking at other players because you see the numbers. So you see what they're doing in Orlando, how they're scoring in Orlando. Do you realize he's not going to score the number of points in Boston that he did in Orlando? Because Tatum's got to score. Brown's got to score. Haywood's got to score. Okay? You had Gordon down there. That was it, right? It's a different situation. Who's going to fit in? But I wouldn't worry about next year or the year after because I think you're crazy if you think this team is in contention next year or the year after that. The question is, where are they 3 years from now, 4 years from now? We'll do another segment coming up on the Celtics, and then we'll get to Chris Sims and find out why he hates Tom Brady.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Drop it, Buster.
I'll tell you, the Celtics are in trouble here without Horford, and then they ended up trading Baines yesterday, too, which, by the way, they did all right on that trade. They got a protected first. I thought that was pretty good for them. But you've just taken away your two defensive pillars from this team. And I know Marcus Smart was all defense. I get that. He's a bulldog. But these two guys, you can't possibly understate how important they were to the defensive schemes these Celtics teams were running.
Jackie McMullen, she's pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
She's got great sources.
She knows how to use
a lot of people. And she's telling you right there, the Boston Celtics are in trouble. But it gets worse. We talked about this the other day about Al Horford. And why is Al Horford not in this team? And I brought up the point that I think the Celtics were caught totally off guard with Al Horford. Jackie McMullen, today.
Yeah. The Al Horford thing caught me by surprise. Did it catch you by surprise, Jackie?
It did a little bit. But you know what it occurred to me in retrospect? I think it's just easy to take Al Horford for granted because he's such a professional. he's a, you know, a darling of the coaching staff and in the locker room. The young guys really like and respect him, and he always does the right thing. And in fairness to Al Horford, he's doing the exact right thing for himself. And I think the Celtics made him a good offer. I can't tell you what it was, but my, you know, I do think they did make him a four-year offer that was a pretty healthy one. And think about that. I think Al's 37 at the end of that contract. So it's not like they said, oh, well, we're going to lowball Al Horford.
That's very interesting. Jackie Mack reporting that they offered him a four-year healthy contract.
So two things. All right, so if they made him an offer, he already had his 30-plus million that he had to opt in, so he's going to get that no matter what. So do you think he took less to go someplace else?
No, I just think...
Do you think he took less to go someplace else?
But I just don't think he had any interest in coming back.
Exactly.
I
don't think he wants to be with these young kids. We talk about Kyrie not wanting to be with the young kids. Morris doesn't want to be with the young kids.
I know, but
maybe this guy, Al Horford, did not want to play with the young kids.
But if, when I look at it, I sit there, okay, he's going to be, with a four-year deal, he would have been 37, like Jackie Mack just talked about. He'd be 37 when it's done.
Right.
Okay, so they made him a healthy offer. Probably a good, you know, respectable offer.
400.
Okay, fine. Do you think he's getting that someplace else?
Well,
or do you think he sat there and said, it doesn't matter?
He probably is. But we heard him, his sister, did he ever give any indication that he didn't love Boston?
See, I think, to me, because I want to know, because
I think he's going to get 400.
That shows you how really bad it is. If Al Horford is willing to take less to go someplace else,
I agree.
Then now there's another sign that it was a lot worse than anyone could imagine.
Well,
him being the smart guy was smart enough to freaking realize it's time to get the hell out of here.
The other day I read Boston Sports Journal, Brian Robb.
Yep.
And he was talking about LaMarcus Aldridge, right? Just throwing out names out there. And he's like, well, if the Celtics just wanted a veteran big, they would have just held on to Al Horford. It's like, what do you mean held on? Oh, you think that they didn't want him? No, he didn't want you. Like, he just, and I don't know if he's going to get less, you know, but I don't think they could have offered him. He doesn't want to come back here. He is getting older. He should go somewhere and try to win. He should go to try to find, you know, a better situation. Even if that means taking a lot less to go and try to get a championship.
What will it say, though?
He doesn't want to play with this team. Okay. He sees the direction it's going.
I think it has a lot to do. I think the split between the younger kids and the older kids, with Kyrie not here, as much as, you know, some people out there are happy that Kyrie's not here, I'm not sure that's good for Al Horford.
What's the team?
Al Horford's looking at it saying, now I've got to deal with the young kids. I don't know if I want to do that right now.
And if you're at that point now where you've kind of been the mentor, you've been the rock, you've been the glue, you've been unselfish, you haven't won anything since college, so you taking less to go to a more advantageous team that has a better opportunity to win right now.
Remember,
is the team? I don't know what do you think the team is?
Clippers? Lakers?
How about Dallas?
Suppose there he goes. How about Golden State? That are very, very interested in Al Horford. And one of them, I believe, is the Dallas Mavericks.
That's right.
And so I think there's going to be some big money there for Al Horford.
I tell you what, that will not be a good sign for the Boston Celtics if he ends up going to Dallas, because Dallas is not winning squat next year.
That's my
point.
Or
the year after that, or the year after that. Maybe 3 years from now, 4 years from now, they're in the mix. But they're getting Al Horford because they want to work around, they want a grown-up on site down there. But what does that tell you? I said this the other day to you guys. What startled me the most about the Al Horford thing is he had the date in which he had to opt out, right? But there was a provision in that that allowed them to hold it off, I believe, until
29th.
The 29th of June, which is the day before you get into free agency. Why is it that he did not cooperate with the Boston Celtics and say, let's extend it to the 29th, because I'll guarantee you Danny Ainge put that out to him. How about we extend this thing? How about we continue the dialogue up until the 29th of June? Because we can do that based on how this works. He said no.
Well, because he obviously had a really good idea that another team was making a hard push for him.
But wait a minute. This guy has, as Jackie said, low-keyed, has gone along with everything, has been the perfect, you know, corporate guy.
He's been compensated for it also pretty nicely.
He has.
So let's not act like he's just doing it against his will.
He's up and underpaid.
Right. We get that.
Right. It's just easy to take Al Horford for granted.
But don't you find that a little startling, that you could hold this thing off for a week and a half, and you had the opportunity to sit there and say, well, let's talk about it for another week and a half, Al. He said, nope, I'm out.
I wonder if they did anybody blame, did Jackie Mack blame Lou at all? Do you have any sound of Winhurst or Jackie Mack blaming Lou? Nobody blamed Lou.
But Christian, no? Even more in which Jackie Mack and she knows
blame Lou Maloney.
Thank you.
She knows the number. She's telling you that the Celtics offered him a 4-year deal, healthy money. The money was healthy. She's telling you that they offered him a good deal, and instead of talking it over, letting his agent talk to these other teams and then work on it for the next week and a half, he says, nope, I'm out. That tells me he didn't want to be here.
I'll say this. A lot can change in a couple of weeks, right? Like, Danny didn't really give anything up. He's like, I'd love to talk to you guys tonight and tell you. But a lot can change. They still have, I mean, is there a move to be made to upgrade this team and then all of a sudden come back and be like, okay, Al, what do you think? Now what? You know, I mean, it's not gone, right? Still bring him back, right?
You opted out. You could.
Okay. So is there a move to be made? You know, for all of a sudden this team to look a little bit different, to it's like, you know, give me a couple of weeks. I'll show you what we can look like. Now what? Or because we can go over with you. Maybe the same thing with Kyrie. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's almost like because Anthony Davis is now gone, it's like there isn't another move that would help convince Kyrie or Al to stay. Now, we already threw it out there. I don't think anybody wants Kyrie back. I don't know. Maybe some people do. But is there a chance where things can unfold in the next week or two?
Yes.
And where all of a sudden it looks a little bit different, and then 2 weeks from now we're like, holy smokes, Al's back.
Well, the reason Kyrie's back. Yeah, the reason I say it's possible, in the way Danny blamed everything, that Kyrie has been great. So all of those stories that you've heard about there, out there, that he's not communicating with the team, Danny's going, no.
So I go back to this. Can they bring him back?
Bring Kyrie back?
Danny would.
Yeah,
how would that go over?
Well, if they win next year, they win games, and they're competitive.
Kyrie Irving to a 5-year max deal.
Celtics fans would love that.
Give me that headline. Give me that reaction. Give me those 4 hours of radio. How does that go over?
4 weeks of radio. What are you talking about?
No, maybe there's a 1-year opt out or a 2-year opt out. How does that go over in this city right now?
Yeah,
I'm just asking because I don't think it'd go over very well. I think people have moved on from him. I think they're still pissed at him. They blame all year last year. They blame the situation you're in. But what if the situation hasn't changed?
Let me ask you this. Forget about what the fans think, because Danny's not worried about that. What about Danny? Do you think if Kyrie came to him on June the 30th, called him up and said, hey, Danny, as you know, we talk every single day, so I'm just giving my daily call here to you. I'm not going to Brooklyn right now. I don't think that's the right position because I can't get KD to go there.
Yeah.
I want to come back. What do you think Danny says to him?
Sure. Let's go.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. For Danny, I think it's easy for Danny.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get
fans may not like it, but absolutely. All right, we'll get back to the Celtics a little bit later on, but we've got to get to Chris Sims. His top 40 quarterback countdown apparently is out, and Tom Brady is number 9 on that list. Are you kidding me? We'll talk to him next.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Maloney, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yes, we've gotten to the point in his career where, hey, New England, they're showing us that he's not exactly what he was 5-6 years ago. They turned into a run-first football team. It's Sony Michel between the tackles. Sony Michel between the tackles. Okay, play action from Tom Brady. Then it's back to a Cordarrelle Patterson speed sweep, and then between the tackles, and then, you know, a screen pass. So they don't ask as much of Tom Brady anymore at this point either, and I think that should be a little telltale sign that they don't think he's capable of just carrying the squad like he was in the old days.
I know we've done this before, and I swear to God he does it just to piss us off.
I'm kind of tired of it, though, aren't you?
Chris Sims, that's why he did it.
Yeah, from Pro Football.
He missed us.
Talk Live with Mike Florio, and he's got his unbuttoned podcast. He's come up with
I did miss you guys.
Yeah, I know
you
did.
And I really don't do it to piss anybody off. I don't do it for clicks. I love what I do. I work hard at it. I understand it's not going to be a popular opinion. I could have took the easy way out and put him in the top 5 so I didn't have to hear this. I understand it, and I will. Before you guys start to grill me, I want to say this one more time, okay? I love Tom Brady.
Oh, gee, we heard it yesterday. We get it. We get it. We get it. You love him.
Oh, he's the greatest.
We love it. We get it.
Throw the goat in there.
Are you getting the same amount of heat down in New Orleans?
You know what? I'm not. I mean, I get heat from New Orleans, but not nothing's like the New England fan base. I mean, that's what makes you guys special. I mean, it's
because you did have Drew Brees. You did Drew Brees at 10. That's why. Yeah,
so I'm sure I do. Pissed. I got Drew Brees at 10, and I'll see this, and you know, maybe to piss them off a little bit more down there. I think there's a considerable gap between 9 and 10. I'll say that right off the bat.
Okay,
I mean,
so you're just trying to make friends up here.
Can I just sucking up
yeah, trying
everybody
to butter
up
you up. Yep, buttering you up.
Chris, this makes no sense. He's 42 years old. Is he number one? No. And I could see you could put three, maybe four of those guys ahead of him. It makes zero sense to put him at 9. And when you talked about a system, every one of these teams have a system, and the system is devised around the quarterback, is it not? And the skill set of that quarterback.
Yeah, of course. But the New England system is special. It's better than any system we've ever seen.
Why is
that,
though?
Come on, Matt Castle didn't even play college football. In his first year in the NFL, he went 11-5. Jimmy Garoppolo never played a game in the NFL. His first game, he went in there, and we went, damn, he's real good. His second game, we go, holy cow, it's a quarter and a half, and he's thrown three touchdowns, and he's on his way to score the fourth. And then the next week, they win with Jacoby Brissett, who's never done anything and couldn't even throw. And
that was more Buffalo's. That was more Buffalo's fault.
So, sure, whatever, but, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away with Tom Brady talking about the system or anything like that. I was just trying to more make the point of, hey, listen, he's still awesome. I mean, I still expect you guys to win the Super Bowl, and he's going to be up for the conversation.
So, Chris, if you had, you're a head coach right now, and you have the opportunity to run whatever system you want, and you have your top 10. Well, you don't give us your top 6, but we assume what they were. We just put them in our own order. And you can grab any one of these guys. I'm assuming you'll probably take Mahomes, number one, to be your quarterback.
I can't give you away my list.
Okay,
certainly he would be towards the top of it. Yes,
so you
wouldn't, no doubt about that.
Because I would say if you have 1 year right now, if you could take any quarterback you want, and regardless of their age, and Tom Brady being 42, I would think that most every single coach would pick Tom Brady. Every single one, regardless of how shiny and athletic and young Patrick Mahomes is.
No, I don't. I disagree. And I, you know, honestly, I've gotten a lot of texts from coaches when they've seen this over the last 24 hours going, good for you, stand your ground, you know, teach people. So, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that statement totally. You know, I look at it where I think the guys that are in front of him at this point of their career, they can do more with less, okay? And that's not a knock on a guy that's, he's 42 years old, like you said, and he's breaking barriers, he's doing special stuff. Like, there's no doubt about it. But I don't think New England changed the way they're playing because they go, man, we got one of the three best quarterbacks in football, but let's take the ball out of his hands more and run the ball instead. You know, that's not what they did. They thought, let's devise a game plan and a scheme that we go into the next year where we know we got Tom. He's getting up there. Let's not be unrealistic and ask him to carry our team on a week-to-week basis. And I think from that standpoint there alone, they're kind of
telling you that. I think you're reading that wrong.
Last season.
No, I don't think that's the total thing. I also think it's Belichick being extremely smart and going, man, all these college kids are coming from the college football right now with these spread offenses, and he's going, they haven't even seen a fullback and a pulling guard and all those things too. So that's part of it. But part of that thinking too is we're not going to ask Tom Brady to drop back and carry the squad 45, 50 passes a game like we did in 2014 and 2015 because he's not capable. That's not realistic to ask him to do that anymore. Yeah, so,
Chris,
it's all right.
You go back and look at the receivers last year, and they had to bring in Gordon because they were so desperate. Gronk was nothing at that point. You know, they had Edelman was coming off of a suspension and a knee injury.
Yeah.
They were jury-rigging it every single week. They were putting it all on this quarterback.
No, they were not. I totally disagree with you. I mean, they didn't. They played a style of football where it was first. So
but it was because of their personnel.
And then, oh my gosh, they brought Josh Gordon in? You mean one of the freakiest receivers we've ever seen? Whoa, I mean, okay. I mean, Gronkowski, I mean, New England, nobody manages it better than New England. I mean, that's why they're New England, and it's not a knock on Tom Brady again.
Because you love Tom.
Well, I do. I do, but I'm also realistic. I'm realistic to tell you I know I love my dad, too, and he's not better than Dan Marino and all those other people or other people you want to put in front of him, but I'm not going to just go, oh, I love my dad, and he won a Super Bowl, and Dan Marino didn't, so he's better. No, that's just not the way it goes. He's 42 years old. The guys in front of him are in the prime of their careers. They're more talented. They can do things on the field that Tom Brady just can't do anymore.
Okay,
that's
so
really
here,
where it comes
okay,
down
so
to.
They can run. Okay, fine. So they're a lot faster than they can run because they're younger, okay? But so when you see guys like Kurt Warner doing the very same list and having Tom Brady number one and almost mocking you for your just inability to see it for what it is, like how do you feel about that?
Part-time analyst Kurt Warner, the troll. Oh no, like I don't care what Kurt Warner says.
But don't you think
I'm way deeper in the weeds on all these subjects than Kurt Warner?
Oh, I mean, so you're saying, hold on, Chris. So you're saying Kurt Warner is just surfacing this, right? He's not diving deep. He's not looking at the all 22. He's just kind of going for the names, right? That's all he's doing.
I don't think he's. Yeah, I think he's taking the easy way out. I'm saying it right there. Yes, I am. I respect his opinion. I understand he knows a lot, but I mean, I've seen him on the NFL channel like once in the last 50 days. You know, I'm there every day, telling you everything about football, studying it. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but yeah, I disagree with Kurt Warner's rankings, so I don't care. I mean, great.
I do think you look at the person. I think you have to look at the person. I know what you said about Josh Gordon, but this isn't the Josh Gordon that was 5 years ago.
You're right. No, and listen.
And Gronk was beat
again.
Up, and you didn't have Edelman. And Brady threw 11 less passes last year than he did the year before when he won MVP. So it wasn't run the football. And this year, do you think he's going to throw less? Do you think they're going to run more? They got nobody.
New England's going to do whatever they got to do to win games according to they're going to evaluate their team first and then go, okay, what is our team? And now they're going to come out with the proper scheme on a year-to-year basis and then go, we're going to play this style because this fits this year's team. But, I just think, hey, Brady, again, there's so many things that I respect and like and all that. But you saw last year, and this is what I think is comical about this, how many times I went on the NBC Regional Sports Network up there and talked people off the ledge last year about, no, Brady's still really good and you can still win the Super Bowl and they're going to win the Super Bowl. And people were fighting me on that. And then they win the Super Bowl and I say they're 9 and now everybody's like, oh, they're crazy. But listen, we saw, in games where, certain teams took away some of their, I don't know what you want to call it, game plan, bull crap type plays, Vrabel, Patricia, and then it became, oh man, they took away all kind of the slam dunk plays of the offense. What's going to happen? And Brady wasn't capable of overcoming some of those odds, which I believe he might have been able to 4 or 5 years ago. And I get that. So, there was also times where, there was just more inconsistent offensive play in general from the New England Patriots that we had seen in years past. And some of that was Brady. Some of that is, he's getting there a little older. Did I see some moments maybe more than ever of, hey, a guy that was a little jumpy in the pocket certain games? Yes, I did. It doesn't mean I think he's a horrible player. I still think he's amazing and doing a lot of great things.
All right, we're talking to Chris Sims, NBC, PFT Live with Mike Florio as well as his Unbuttoned
podcast.
Down
or unbuttoned?
Unbuttoned.
There you go.
Unbuttoned.
Thank you.
Yes, Chris. So I see your list, right? And I don't know, are you past number 7? Because I saw Matt Ryan 7, Cam Newton's 8, Brady, Breeze.
Yep, no, and I haven't done the top 6 yet. I did 7 and 8 yesterday on my podcast, yes, okay. And that was mid-day-up, so go ahead.
So Cam Newton, right above Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Are they moving away from him and going to Christian McCaffrey an awful lot? Like, Cam Newton, really? Like, ahead of Tom?
I mean, Cam Newton, really. The guy where he's, this is one of the physically best gifted quarterbacks in football. The statistics are never going to talk about really do justice to Cam Newton because that's not the style of play they play. But Cam Newton and his skill set, I mean, go back and listen to what Bill Belichick said him last year. It makes defenses play things they don't want to play because they go, oh my gosh, wait, I got to worry about a 70-yard bomb. I got to worry about, 20-yard outs. I got to worry about their run game between the tackles. Ooh, I got to worry about when Cam Newton keeps the ball off the run game on the read option, the bootlegs, the play action passes. Oh gosh, I got to worry about the tailback leading him up through the hole and the guard pulling and him running downhill and smashing us, up the middle. So all of those things lend to teams playing things that they don't want to do. Yeah, Yeah, he threw the ball a lot to McCaffrey last year. It's one of the first ever. But, you know, there's, again, you want to talk about another quarterback who's not had a ton of weapons around him and still makes a go. I mean, Cam Newton is, you know, he's so good and so talented that he couldn't throw the ball past 20 yards last year, and they were still in games and, like, losing games on the last drive of the game because, you know, he could still do enough despite the fact that he couldn't throw the ball over 20 yards at that point with a torn labrum, that he's talented enough to keep them in those games, even though they didn't win a lot of them.
So, but these rankings are not, like, moving forward in the future. This isn't, like, who would you rather move forward with for the next 2 or 3 years. This is
no,
for
it's
this
really just
season.
How I see it, like, right now. Like, this point right now in time, 2019, yes.
See, that's the thing. My thing is, you can make the argument that Cam Newton over the last 2 or 3 years has been garbage. And they finally got Christian McCaffrey, and they handed the ball off to him, little dump passes. So he opened up his game this year for him to actually have a good season. Kind of a little throwback from what he was a few years back. But they needed Christian McCaffrey for him to even reach that.
Well, he needed something, yeah. I mean, who's his other receiver on the team?
This year, he didn't have much.
right, exactly. So you can't even name the guy.
Well,
you can't name anybody.
You could say the same thing with Brady.
Oh, there. Flash Gordon was like a go-to guy for a while. Gronk's hobbling around. Edelman wasn't there for 4 games.
So
I'm not denying any of that. You're right. And Brady was phenomenal in a lot of those instances and making plays. And yes, I mean, they're a well-oiled machine in New England. We know that. I mean, Tom Brady is, you know, he's maybe,
so Chris,
maybe the greatest ever.
Chris,
I get all those things.
We know you love him. We know you respect.
This isn't a podcast.
Yeah,
you're
doing
a podcast.
You got me.
And this is a buttoned up show. Okay?
Yeah, we're buttoned up. Hey, so what? So whenever we see, because I feel like you do this every year, and I feel like
where was Brady last year on your list?
Well, hold on, Glenn. So what did Brady do to you? Because you were here for a while, right? You were working with the Patriots.
Yes, right. And
did he like just green fly you, or you know, like have you like shine his shoes? Did he not like treat you right? Why
you
is it that every
me.
Year,
guys, every time,
every
I come
yeah,
on this
because
radio
I want
station,
you to be honest. I want you to tell the truth.
You
tell
know
the
I'm
truth.
Honest. I'm like the most honest. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't ever like filter. I just said the F word on your damn show. I mean, hey, they don't get any more honest than me in the business. I'm not in it for clicks or attention. I love what I do. Like I told you, Tom Brady was awesome to me when I was there.
And you hate
Kurt
Warner.
I got mad at him for Deflategate because I do think he's guilty there. Yes, that bothered me because I loved him so much, okay? It has nothing to do with any of that. I mean, Brady is, yes, and you know, then New England fans think I hate him because I don't say he's the greatest quarterback of all time. It's just not, you know, I think he's amazing. I really do, and I really root for New England. The funny thing is, guys, I swear to you this is the case. When I go around the country, most people tell me, you talk about New England too glowingly, all you talk about is the Patriots. And then I go up to New England, and everybody tells me I hate the Patriots. And that's the battle it is, and whatever. It is what it is. But, man, I have so much respect for the things he's done. He's one of the toughest quarterbacks ever. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves for his physical abilities. It's one of the better arms in the history of the sport. He does so many, you know, a mobility within the pocket, feel within the pocket is an all-time great. I mean, everything is, like, top-notch. I love the guy. I do. But, yes, at the age of 41, about to be 42, I'm not going to put him in my top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I'm just not going to do it because I just don't think the tape and my notes and everything I do on a weekly basis through the season lends me to believe that at this point.
Right,
I'm sorry.
All right, since you did not answer Christian's question, I'm going to ask it again. You were a coaching assistant here in 2012.
I did. I said he treated me great. Okay. I said that.
And have you had any communication with Brady since then or more recently?
No, I have not. You haven't talked to him at all? No, I
since
have not.
Since you left in 2012. All right.
Nope, I have not. I mean, there's a lot of people up in New England. You know, I keep in contact with a few, but there's a lot of people I haven't talked to since my, you know, time there. Just seeing them in passing and, hey, how you doing? But that's it. But, no, it has nothing to do with that, guys. I'm not that petty of a person. I mean, hey, you guys talk crap about me all the time.
We
I'm
do.
Here on your show.
And we do.
I mean, it's not that way.
Wait till you hear the crap we're going to talk when we hang up on you.
Yeah, make sure
exactly
you tune
right.
in.
I get it. So, you know, I'm
cursing on our show.
All right, listen.
Button it up.
We'll do it again next month when your top 32 coaches come out and you got Belichick number 8. All right, we'll do it then.
Yeah. That'll never happen. And this is why I don't like, don't do that. Don't say that to me. I gave you plenty of good examples, and I don't say you have to agree with me, and I'm not saying that I am like end all be all and my rankings are written in stone. But I can promise you that anybody that's ever been around me in my life will tell you that I've been obsessed with football. I'm obsessed with quarterback play.
We get it.
I study it, and I'm not trying to be a jerk or make headlines here.
No, you're honest. We get it.
And you hate Kurt Warner.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not in love with Kurt Warner. I'm not going to lie there.
Chris Sims from PFT Live with Mike Florio and, of course, the Unbuttoned Podcast. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, later. Guys, I'm always down to come on. I appreciate you guys.
Right,
be good.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Dropped an F-bomb right there. This hour being brought to you by Window World of Boston. Visit windowworldofboston.com today.